are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this late Thursday night, Friday edition of the show. A skip Thursday, my fourth and final show of the week. I wanted to wait until the press conference that announced Quan Alexander and Dee Ford as members of the 49ers. And wouldn't you know it, a few more players have also signed with the 49ers. So we'll get into all the signings, get into the audio from the press conference. I think we learned a little bit about how these players will be used, maybe, and why specifically Dee Ford and Quan Alexander were targets as big money acquisitions when the free agency period opened. A quick reminder to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify. You can find this podcast and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network just about anywhere. LockedOn49ers.com for all the podcasts, where to subscribe, and other articles. Follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can always email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. So let's start with just running down all of the signings that the 49ers brought in this free agent period up until Thursday evening. We know Quan Alexander, linebacker from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he signed a four-year, $54 million contract with the 49ers right when that negotiating period opened. Dee Ford, the biggest move of the offseason, pass rusher from Kansas City. They traded a 2020 second-round draft pick for the franchise-tagged player for the right to sign him to a five-year, $87.5 million contract. Those were the big ones. And then some other dominoes started to fall. Running back Tevin Coleman. Kyle Shanahan knows him from his days in Atlanta. 2 years, was reported $10 million. Looks like more like 2 years, $8.5 million, according to Tom Pelissero. He gets $3.6 million in year one. No signing bonus, so clean break if they cut him before a $2 million rolling guarantee kicks in April 1st, 2020. And remember, that's the same day that the guarantees kick in on year two of Quan Alexander's contract, which could also be just a one-year deal if the 49ers decide to cut ties next offseason. And then there's a max of $10.6 million for Tevin Coleman's two-year deal with all incentives. Not clear what those incentives are, but I think it's a really good pickup for the 49ers and a solid value, and they definitely needed the depth at running back. We'll see what happens with Jerick McKinnon. Matt Breida's definitely not going anywhere. Raheem Mostert was tendered a restricted free agent contract, so the 49ers have the right to match any deal that Raheem Mostert might find on the free agent market, but he can look around and talk to other teams. Jason Verrett, that is one of the latest ones, and former Charger, a deal I love. 1 year, $3.6 million contract for Jason Verrett, who is a 5'9", about 185-pound cornerback. Loved him coming out of college at TCU. He is the epitome of a quick twitch athlete. And man, the speed, just this regime loves speed. It's clear. In the draft, in free agency, every person they've brought in can flat out fly, or at least at one point in their life has been able to flat out fly. Injuries is another common thing right now with the 49ers, which I think fans probably are a little bit worried about with all the injuries that they sustained last year and how tough that was to watch and go through. But Jason Verrett's only played 25 of 80 possible career games. That's how many injuries he's run into in his career. So who is Jason Verrett now? I don't know. Is he still that quick twitch athlete that he was coming out of college? He's a really good cover guy. He's active. He's instinctive. He can tackle. He throws his body around, even though he's not very big, which might be why some of these injuries happened early in his career and continue to happen. He missed all of last season. I think he only played a couple of games in 2017. So it's been a while since Jason Verrett's been on a football field. 1 year, $3.6 million prove-it contract. See if he can stay healthy. See if he's still the same player he was. He could play inside in the slot. He could play outside. And a player I love, if he does work out, that would be a fantastic steal for the 49ers. David Mayo, linebacker. He's been in Carolina. It's a two-year contract. Don't know the money on that one yet. He's more of a core special teams type player. And basically, he's going to go replace Brock Coyle, who it was announced that Brock Coyle got released and he had sustained some career-ending injuries. So a bummer for Brock Coyle. Godspeed to him wherever he goes in his either, you know, coaching football career, if that's where he decides to take it, if he stays in the field of sports and football, or if he does anything else in his life. Good luck to Mr. Brock Coyle, whose career has ended prematurely due to injury, and it looks like David Mayo is the guy that's going to replace him there and be a depth piece at linebacker and a special teams ace for the 49ers. And then we get to wide receiver Jordan Matthews, who is a player that, like Jason Verrett, I loved coming out of college, out of Vanderbilt, 6'3", ran a 4.46 at the combine. He was a monster, put up crazy numbers in college, had a really good start to his career in Philadelphia as an early second-round pick, and then had some injuries, and he played a lot of big slot. He's lined up 75% of his career snaps have been in the slot, even though he's a bigger wide receiver. And almost like a Y tight end sort of role in some cases, because he's not afraid to hit people and block people either. And I wonder how the 49ers envision using him, or if they just wanted to make sure they added some size before they went into the draft. But Jordan Matthews, he is a shadow 49er. He was my 49ers shadow pick in 2014, which was the first round pick, because he got taken a few picks later, early in the second round, I believe, by Philadelphia. But Jordan Matthews was the Jimmy Ward pick. And so now Jimmy Ward, who has also, by the way, been re-signed by the 49ers. So worlds collide. The shadow 49ers and real 49ers of 2014 are now colliding on the 49ers roster. Jordan Matthews, I don't know what he has left. His career hit a definite hiccup after he had a really good start for the first couple of seasons in Philadelphia. And then he bounced around, went to the Bills, then back to the Philadelphia Eagles last year. Now he's a San Francisco 49er. You will probably hear a ton about how he is the cousin of Jerry Rice. His mother is actually the first cousin of Jerry Rice. So Jordan Matthews, an interesting player. If he's anything like he was coming out of college, I'm going to love him, and he's got a chance to even compete for a starting wide receiver spot and maybe even take that Z spot. Who knows? But he's going to be a depth piece and at least has some size. A one-year contract, so he might even not make the roster. Who knows? There's a lot of different ways the Jordan Matthews signing goes, but I'm interested to see how he looks for the 49ers. And they do have a need for size at wide receiver, and they got a big guy, 6'3", 217 pounds coming out of college, ran that 4.46 back then. And after those injuries, I don't know if they've taken a big toll on his career, because it definitely, his production has taken a dip after he first got hurt in Philadelphia. I believe it was the third year of his career. But Jordan Matthews, a player I like, shadow 49er. We'll see what happens with him with the 49ers. Speaking of speed, I mentioned speed, and we're going to get to some talk about speed with the defenders that Kyle Shanahan brought up, which I think is a great quote. And I think we have a nickname for Quan Alexander and D Ford, maybe a nickname for that defensive front. That defensive front seven might need their own name, especially if they add a stud player at number two overall to that group. It'll be interesting. But more on that later. I want to talk a little bit about the pure speed that the 49ers continue to add to the roster. Everybody's fast. The free agents that the 49ers have brought in so far: Quan Alexander, he's the slowest guy at 4.55 40-yard dash. For a linebacker, is really fast. And he's a little undersized, 6'1", 230 pounds maybe. But 4.55 is fast, and you see it. He plays fast. And by the way, he's going to wear number 56, which is going to look weird and familiar. Similar playing style, playing that weak side linebacker spot for the 49ers. With Quan and his 4.55 speed. D Ford, even faster at 252 pounds coming out of the draft. At his pro day, he ran a 4.53, and he plays with some serious speed coming off the edge. D Ford's a fantastic fit for this team. The more I think about it, the more I'm excited about D Ford. They got the best pass rusher they could possibly get. Stings a little, giving up a 2020 second-round pick, but it's the price of doing business for getting this type of player. And there was no chance to get anybody this good in free agency that could get after the quarterback. D Ford's, and he's in his prime right now. Like, he is in his prime. He's ready to go chase quarterbacks with that speed off the edge. What position he plays is still to be determined. I have my thoughts about it. John Lynch kind of said something different, and then Kyle Shanahan said something even different than that. So we'll get into that with some sound bites in just a moment. Jordan Matthews, I mentioned, 6'3", 217, ran a 4.46. In 2014, which kind of surprised me because I knew he was fast and he used to run away from guys and run after the catch in college. Haven't seen as much in the pros, but 4.46 for him. And Jason Verrett, 4.39. and just absurd agility numbers as well to go with it for Jason Verrett. And then there's Tevin Coleman, also ran a 4.39 coming out of the draft, coming out of Indiana, and he's got some size to him as well. I think he was listed at 5'11", 206 coming out of school, but he looks bigger, and he plays a little bit bigger than that. I'd be surprised if he's not 210, 215 pounds. But look at this running back group. Let's go fastest to slowest. Raheem Mostert, 4.34 seconds in the 40-yard dash. Matt Breida, 4.39. Tevin Coleman, 4.39. Jerick McKinnon is a freak of nature. He blew up the combine, and he's the slowest dude in the backfield with a 4.41 coming off of his ACL. I can't wait to see him actually play for the 49ers. We'll see what sort of speed he has left after that ACL injury and that ACL tear last year. He'll have had a full calendar year to repair that and to be ready and rehab that before the season starts. So that's going to be an interesting one. And it's going to logjam. It's a bit of a logjam at running back. That is also going to be an interesting story through the offseason because you don't have to do anything yet. You've got the depth. There's probably a 90% chance one of these guys gets dinged up before the season even starts. So you don't have to do anything with anybody, but McKinnon would be the guy who saves you the most money because the 49ers can easily get out of his contract. He's got that prorogued up contract from last year, and there was a lot of upfront money with it. So if they wanted to, they could get out of it. Maybe he ends up on the PUP list to start the season. But it's interesting because usually they go with three running backs, and if Raheem Mostert is definitely going to be one of them because he's the special teams guy, then you're only running two guys out there on game day, and one of these three players, Breida, Coleman, or McKinnon, would be in street clothes on game day. So that doesn't make sense. But Kyle Shanahan said they could probably do four. And so maybe they'll just run four running backs active, and another position group will be one short on game days. But that's an interesting storyline throughout the offseason. They could dangle somebody in trade. Maybe you could cut McKinnon. Maybe one of these guys gets hurt and the problem fixes itself. But having too much depth is definitely a good problem to have, and I love this group. And if anything does happen, it'll be late summer when they have to make a decision if everybody's healthy and they'll have to figure out what to do with this group if they don't want to activate four running backs every week. And they only activated three last year for the most part. And people got mad when I said this on Twitter, and I don't know, I'm not saying it's likely, but it's entirely possible that Jerick McKinnon never carries the rock for the 49ers. He's the guy who hasn't played yet for Shanahan. He's the guy who makes the most money that they would save the most for cutting. So just logically, he would be the one to go if they had to lop somebody off out of those three, unless Raheem Mostert signs somewhere else or they think his special teams value isn't enough. They want to roll up the other three. Or maybe they'll just go with four running backs. That's possible too. A lot of possibilities. I will say this about the roster building strategy is just a little bit weird. A lot of resources spent on positions like running back and linebacker, which are some of the most easily replaceable positions in the NFL, usually spend more cash and more resources on the edges aside from quarterback. And man, a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries. All of these guys, Matthews, injury history, Dee Ford had some back problems. Although both of those guys got well last year and are fully healthy right now. Quan Alexander currently has an ACL he's coming back from. McKinnon has the ACL he's coming back from. And Garoppolo as well. All three of those guys, I think, tore ACLs around a month apart. Jason Verrett is one of the most injured players that's existed in the NFL for the last 5 years. So the 49ers brass is not afraid of gambling on some injuries, hoping that their medical staff can get these guys through this. Okay, I've got this audio. We had a nice argument on, not really an argument, just trying to make sense of things and figure things out on Twitter on Thursday night with how Dee Ford is exactly going to be utilized on the 49ers defense. And I don't know if we got 100% of the answer on that one. Before we get to the scheme specifics, Kyle Shanahan had an interesting way to explain these guys, and it's been a pretty common theme throughout this regime, whether it's Robert Saleh or John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan talking about a certain sort of violence that they want their, especially their defensive players, to play with. So, Kyle, what was it about Quan Alexander and Dee Ford that attracted you to them was the question.
Speed and violence affect the quarterback and make people do stupid things before they want to, and both of these guys have a lot of speed and they both play very violent.
Definitely.
I think Quan at the end of that is like, yep, most definitely. I play fast and I play violent. But that violence, Robert Saleh preaches it in his defense, all gas, no brakes. And Kwon Alexander already has spoken those words at the press conference as well. So he's on board with that idea. But I like that. Speed and violence affect the quarterback, put pressure on the quarterback. You know, pressure is such a word that's thrown out, you know, with the NFL. But it's like pressure is an important thing to make that quarterback feel your defense, make him uncomfortable. And I think that'll lead to a lot of turnovers as well for the 49ers, who obviously had one of the worst seasons of all time last year with creating turnovers for their defense. So when it, and by the way, an interesting nugget, if you didn't listen to the press conference, is that Kwon Alexander and Dee Ford, although 3 years apart, they were from the same hometown in Alabama, which is kind of a wild coincidence. So John Lynch was asked, what's Dee Ford's position? What is he going to play? And this was his response.
Is that a Leo? Or yeah, he fits the Leo mold perfectly.
It's hard to tell. It was sort of off mic a little bit, but basically Lynch said he fits the Leo mold perfectly, which would that would put him at defensive end. But on base? Base downs? Defensive end? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me for how he's built, how the 49ers roster has been utilized before. And look, there's probably not a huge difference between Sam and Leo really with physical traits, because those guys are in the same meeting rooms. So the Sam linebacker is not a traditional off-ball inside linebackers. The inside linebackers have a separate meeting room from the edge guys. The Leo and the Sam, those guys meet together. So on sub downs, you say Ford is the Leo, right? He's going to be the weak side guy. He's going to be split out wide, the wide nine, and come rushing with the quarterback with the speed. That makes a lot of sense. But in base, putting Dee Ford on the defensive line still doesn't make much sense to me at all. He's about 30 to 40 pounds lighter than the guys they have been playing the base defensive end spot in Eric Armstead, who's 290, and Solomon Thomas, who's in the 280s now. Dee Ford said he's been playing at around 245 pounds. He was 252 pounds at the combine. So to me, that screams Sam linebacker. He runs a 4.53. He can do – the 49ers barely put their Sam linebacker into coverage. He can go cover the flat occasionally if they want him to. He can drop back if they want him to. He can set the edge against the run as a Sam linebacker from that standpoint and you know, block tight ends. But do you want him taking on an offensive tackle on early downs and sort of – getting leaned on by 300-plus pound offensive tackles and maybe not being super fresh for third downs? I don't know. I think he, as far as base goes, I'm not so sure. And maybe Lynch was talking about more of a sub. And look, sub is the new base. Sub is on the field 60-70% of the time. So that's the way they should be focused in this thing. And he's absolutely going to be coming off the edge on third downs. And that's what's really important about Dee Ford. So this, you know, the hybrid scheme and how it's exactly going to be used and where he's lining up in base maybe isn't super important, but it might impact who they draft at number two. And that's the argument there, is if he's playing defensive end, maybe there's not room for Nick Bosa. But then Shanahan was asked a little bit more about it. And he was asked about the wide nine. And a lot's been made of the wide nine. And the 49ers have brought in the defensive line coach from the Lions, Chris Kocurek. And he's the guru of the wide nine front. And he's going to teach guys to rush a little bit different. But Shanahan didn't seem to think that that was really a big deal.
We did a lot of wide nines last year. Every team in the league does. A 3-4 linebacker, as he played in his old scheme, is a nine technique. But I'd see us using a little bit more this year, but we'll see how that plays out. You always got to adjust when things work and when things don't work.
So basically he's saying, yeah, wide nine is not a big deal because we did that last year and maybe do it a little bit more. A lot of teams run some wide nine, and a nine tech is essentially what a 3-4 outside linebacker is, and that's what Dee Ford's used to doing. So that tells me, yeah, that's what the Sam linebacker is in the 49ers scheme. 49ers have a hybrid scheme. The Sam linebacker is basically a 3-4 outside linebacker with what he's asked to do. So that, to me, says Dee Ford's going to be the Sam linebacker. And on running downs, he's going to do some things to help stop the run. And on passing downs, he's going to be on the edge and getting after the quarterback. And on that note, they asked Dee Ford, what is your role in this defense?
My role is to go that way. Nothing else.
All gas, no brakes.
Right. Very simple, man. Very simple.
And that way is towards the quarterback.
That was a great exchange because, yeah, they obviously brought Dee Ford in to go after the quarterback. That's what Kyle Shanahan says at the end there. going that way means going at the quarterback, and you heard Quan Alexander pipe up in there, all gas, no brakes. Yeah, they know what's going on. They've already been coached up on that, and that's important. And those guys both do play with that all gas, no brakes mentality. So I think that's why Lynch and Shanahan really liked those guys coming in. And John Lynch really got excited and kind of went into some detail about that aspect of Quan Alexander's game.
There were a lot of good linebackers out there this year. Quan, I think I've long admired. You know, I believe certain players bring out the best in their teammates with the way they play. There's a certain passion for the game that screams, even when you're watching film, that's silent. You can just see it jump through, and he plays with his hair on fire. You know, I think that kind of play is contagious, and we needed that. He's also extremely productive, and I think I saw it, and Kyle saw it, and our staff saw it, and we just said it really just kept growing and growing to, hey, this is a guy we want here, and we sure are happy to have him.
And that goes right along with what James Yarko said earlier in the week when the host of Locked On Bucks was here on the podcast with me and talking about how he's a big-time locker room guy, a big-time fan favorite, because he is that sort of heart and soul type player for your defense. So talking about roles on the defense, they asked who would have the green dot in their helmet, who would be calling out the plays for the 49ers defense, if it would be Fred Warner again like last year. And that's where I would probably think that this is going to go. Fred Warner is going to play that middle linebacker. Quan will be the weak side linebacker, and Fred will continue to develop that part of his game and the mental side of it and call out those plays. Even though Quan is the veteran, I don't think they'll change that. But Kyle Shanahan didn't commit on that idea either way. But he was asked about Solomon Thomas and where Solomon Thomas is figuring to fit in this defense.
No, same. Similar plans as last year. I mean, we love Solly outside more in rundowns and in passing situations. We want him inside.
So there you have it. He's going to be a rundown end and a passing down defensive tackle, which is what he should be. That he's that big end. That makes total sense. And so when a lot of people heard that and they heard that Dee Ford's the Leo, they thought, well, Solomon Thomas is at end, or Eric Armstead, or they're both playing ends and rotating, and Dee Ford's playing the Leo spot. There's no space for Nick Bosa. So that's an interesting storyline, but I still think there's room for everybody, even if they draft Nick Bosa, draft the best players. Don't screw around, 49ers. You put Bosa at defensive end all the time. You have Ford at Sam linebacker. You have a rotation of Armstead and Solomon Thomas at big end and rushing from the inside on passing downs. Then on passing downs, you got Bosa on one side. You've got Dee Ford on the other side. And you've got all those other guys inside with DeForest Buckner. Makes perfect sense to me. I'm not shook by any of the stuff I heard at the press conference talking about anything. That's still the way I envision it. And if the 49ers don't envision that way, we'll find out. I think they'd be silly not to. Let's move on to John Lynch talking about why the focus has been still so much on the front seven, and they haven't really added anybody aside from bringing back Antoine Exum and bringing back Jimmy Ward to the secondary, which was a big problem for the 49ers last year. They didn't go get Earl Thomas. He was outbid. I don't know how hard the 49ers were even involved in it. I never really heard about the 49ers in on Earl Thomas. He did get a nice chunk of change from the Baltimore Ravens, got a lot of money up front, got a lot of guaranteed money, which might have scared off the 49ers. And obviously the Baltimore Ravens value their safeties. Whether it was Ed Reed, whether it was Eric Weddle, they got rid of Eric Weddle to upgrade from Weddle to Earl Thomas now, which is that's one team that values safeties. And a lot of the teams in the league don't value safeties as much. I personally do value safeties. And I think this day and age in the NFL, safeties are more valuable than ever. But the 49ers haven't gone that route yet. They haven't made any big moves there. And so John Lynch addressed the idea of the front seven and especially that edge rush helping out his current defensive backs.
You know, I know in my career, I learned the tough way that, you know, in Tampa, three Mississippi was a lot easier than the five Mississippi I grew to know in Denver. And that's no disrespect to the guys that I played with in Denver. It's just we had something special. It makes everybody better. And, you know, I think that's always been true in football, and that holds true today.
So we'll see. I can't see them completely standing pat in the defensive secondary. So maybe they've got to put their attention on the draft. Maybe the 49ers are planning on drafting a defensive back pretty high, whether it's corner, whether it's a free safety. But it's interesting that they had not added anybody. They just brought back the same group right now. The band is back together as far as the defensive backfield goes for the 49ers, which to me is honestly really surprising, aside from the addition of a one-year contract for Jason Verrett. And lastly, they talked running backs. What does it mean? What does it all mean adding another running back like Tevin Coleman to the stable?
When guys are coming off ACLs and stuff, you're not going to rush them back just because you need them. I mean, that's, or you're going to lose them a lot longer. So you got to be patient regardless of the situation. Not just having Tevin, but I mean, all the guys we played with last year makes us feel that we can be patient and be smart. Regardless, you don't have a choice. You have to always be patient and smart. But the more guys you have, the easier it is.
So you can tell there was just, I think it was all about frustration for Kyle Shanahan. He planned all offseason long to implement Jerick McKinnon into the passing game and the running game, and he didn't get to do that. And he doesn't want that to happen again. He wants to make sure he has depth at that position. And the Coleman, look, the Tevin Coleman contract is exactly why you don't pay for Le'Veon Bell for 50-whatever million dollars, and you don't draft a running back in the first round or in the top 10, because you can get a Tevin Coleman. You can get an undrafted Matt Breida and have a really good running game. So the 49ers are nice and set at running back. You can check that off the list. Now, that's got to feel good, I think, for Kyle Shanahan and for John Lynch. And I think it's that way with linebacker. I mean, you know, the ACL thing is hovering over their head with Quan Alexander. But I think for the most part, they wanted to check off some boxes. And for sure, running back is that position now where it's like, okay, box checked. We don't need to worry about running back. We've got depth. We've got really good players. We've got three guys that we're confident, if they're healthy, can probably be the number one running back for this offense. And so that's a good place to be. I like the Coleman signing. He's a good fit for Kyle Shanahan. He's worked with him before. We know that all works. And if there is some injuries, we know there's a guy that can work in the passing game like Kyle Shanahan wants to, unlike last year when he was not able to do that. All in all, 49ers much busier than they were last year, and I like this, man. I like some of the players they brought in. A couple of draft day favorites in Jason Verrett and Jordan Matthews. Tevin Coleman, I think, is a nice fit, a nice addition. He adds to that depth to the backfield, and the 49ers know they can rest easy with their running back situation. Maybe an overpay for Quan Alexander, but a good player, and they definitely got better, and he's a nice fit, and he's going to be someone that 49ers fans love to watch and enjoy watching, and they don't have to pay his salary, so who cares, right? And then there's Dee Ford, who was the best edge rusher on the market that they could have possibly get, adding some juice, adding some speed off the edge. He is in his prime, and he is poised to go get after quarterbacks, which is the number one thing this defense needs. So that is a great addition to me, and we'll see what happens in the draft. I wouldn't be upset if they went for another edge guy at number two overall, but I think they have more options. They're checking off boxes, so they're not cornered into one idea on draft day. They can move around. They can do some things. So we'll see what happens and see if they're able to leverage that number two overall pick to either draft the best player who's available or move down and add some picks and maybe look at some other positions. We'll see. And I'm sure they're not done with free agents. Might have another add or two. Probably no big names. I don't know if there's any big names out there that would even make sense for the 49ers right now. But we're going to get back into draft mode next week and keep an eye on the remaining free agents. Now have a little bit more focus on where this team might be headed in the draft and needs. And so we'll get into all of that and probably kick it off with the post-free agency mailbag next week right here on Locked On 49ers.